The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot, may he continue to succeed. Aslaha V'Arvaha B'Chol Ma'asi Yadav. Amen. Daf Tzadi Zayin. Today's daf is being studied in Nushmat Avraham ben Esther, Hashem Tenihinu Begin Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fu'ash Shilma Yosef ben Sarah V'Sarah Bat Rachel. Elna referred to him B'Tuch Sharach Le'Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Tzadi Zayin Amud Lishon, and we start right at the top line. Our Gemara today begins with a subject from the Mishnah that we learned that the Almana is able to sell the Nechasim, the property of her deceased husband, in order to sustain herself for Mizonot, in order that she could sell the property, get the money, and sustain herself so she could feed herself. This is the money, obviously, of the Yetomim. Now the Gemara is going to tell us how she sells that property. In the Mishnah, and the Gemara says, Ketzad Mocheret, how does she sell? Amar Rav Daniel, Bar Rav Katina, Amar Rav Huna, Mocheret Achat Lishnem Asar Chodesh, that she is able to sell once every 12 months. That she says, Mocheret Lishnem Asar Chodesh Kedem Mizonot Shel Shana, Temkor Yachad, 1 year's worth of food stuff. She's able to sell that many fields in order that she can have enough money to feed herself for 1 year. V'lokeach Meparnas Echat L'Shloshim Yom. However, she gets paid every 30 days. V'lokeach Mefernes Achat L'Shloshim Yom, which means the seller of the fields does not pay the money in one shot, but pays her in 12 installments. That she, V'lokeach Lo Yimsur L'Kol Ama'ot Ela Demei Mizunot Shel Chodesh B'Chodesh. Why? She'im Tenaseh Yachzir Mashe Biyado L'Yoshim. But die, because if she gets married, once she gets married, she loses the mizonot, so she has to give the rest to the Yorshim. So we don't want to give her the money up front, because now it's going to be hard for the Yorshim to get it back. Yeah. So therefore, she's able to sell a year's worth of property to make money in order to feed herself for a year. But the Lokeah only pays in monthly installments, and therefore she gets money once a month. And then if in the event she gets married, so the rest of that money obviously goes to the Yorshim. V'rav Yehuda Amar Mocheret L'Shisha Chodashim. He says, no. That she sells 6 months at a time her needs, velokeach, and the lokeach mefanes achat l'shoshim yom, and also the same thing, it's monthly payments. So comes again and says Tanya kevetet Rav Huna, we have a braita to support the opinion of Rav Huna that says she can sell a year's worth of properties to feed herself. Mocheret l'shnem asar chodesh v'lokeach mefanes achat l'shoshim yom. Tanya kevedet Rav Yehuda. Mocheret l'shisha chodashim v'lokeach mefanes achat l'shoshim yom. So we have braitot to support both opinions. Amar amemor hilchet. Mocheret l'shisha chodashim. That what? Every 6 months she sells the fields. How much she would need for being mefanes herself, v'lokeach mefanes achat l'shloshim yom, and the lokeach gives it her in monthly installments. Comes again and says, "Amar le'Rav Ashet Amemor, Rav Ashet Az Amemor, de Rav Huna Mai," which means, what about the opinion of Rav Huna that says she could sell a year's worth, right, once a year? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le lo shamiyali. He said, I didn't hear it. And the Gemara explains, what does it mean, I didn't hear it? Kelomar lo svirali, meaning I don't hold like that. Okay. So where is the shita that we posek like? Is she shahadati when she's able to sell the properties twice a year? Right? Every 6 months she's able to sell, where according to Rav Huna was once a year, as Rav Yehuda 6 months, and Rav Huna was six every 12 months. Okay, comes again and continues. Ba'umine Mirav Sheshat. We have a question that they asked from Rav Sheshat. Mocheret lemezonot. So what did she do? Now she sold her the assets in order to get mezonot, right, to feed herself. Ma'u shetazor v'tetrof lechtuba, which means, can she go to those same
those properties exactly that she sold. So she, again, what did she do? The Yitumim had assets, had property. She needs money for the Mizonot. She sold them. Right? Somebody bought them. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. She got money for that. So now she wants to go back to those same properties and put a lien on them and say, hey, you owe me my ketubah. Could she, because the ketubah you can get from Karka. The question is, could she go to the same properties that she sold and now put a lien on those properties in order to get her ketubah? Okay, let's read that inside. Can she come along and get those same properties and take them for the ketubah? So Kamei Gemara explains the question. The real question is based on a ruling of Rav Yosef. The Amar of Yosef, Armalta Dezabin, a Almana, that let's say sold in the Chasim of the Yitomim for Mizorot, or she sold it, let's say, for a Ketubah, and let's say she accepted upon herself Achrayut, which means she sold the properties, and she said, listen, I'm responsible for the property. If anybody else comes and takes the properties, I have to pay you. Which means if, let's say, Baal Chov is going to come and take the properties, the lady is accepting upon herself Achrayut, right? That she's going to pay the Likuhot for the fields. So let's get the case again. Armalta de Zabin, Armana sold the properties. And what she sold with Achrayut, so the deen is what? Achrayut ayetmeh. I will say what? That the Achrayut is on the Yitomim, which means since, who's obligated to feed her a Mizonot or Ketubah? Yitomim. So therefore, she's selling because she just wants to exist. Mm-hmm. So now when the Baal Chov comes along and says, hey, I'm taking that field, the Almana can come along and say, don't get involved with me. This is the Yitomim's obligation. The Yitomim are going to have to make good on the Likuhot because really it's their obligation. So comes the Gemara and says, Achrayut ayatme ubedina dezabin. And similarly, let's say Betin, that sold the field for the almana in order to feed her mizonot, acharayut ayatmeh. Still, the acharayut is on the yetumim. I don't care if she sold it or the betin sold it, and she sold it with acharayut. The obligation is on the yetumim to make good on those fields if somebody else comes and tries to take it. So comes the Gemara and says, my, what's the deen legabe when she sold the fields herself? Which means, what's the deal where she's done? No, not where she sold the fields herself. Where she's the one that's the Baal Chov. Where she herself was the one coming after the likor and saying, I want to take these likor for my ketubah now. What's the question? My, kevan da achrayut ayetmeh tarfa. The wife said, listen, since the obligation is on the yitumim to pay her ketubah, so she's a Baal Chov like everybody else, and therefore she can come and take it. Or Dilma, Matzi Amrila, the Likuchot can tell the Almana, Nihi da Achrayut da Alma lo kabilat alavach. Achrayut da Nafshach, mi lo kabule kabilt. Which means, let's say you didn't want to accept upon yourself the Achrayut from the world, which means if somebody else is going to take these properties from you, you're off the hook because it's already you got to deal with the yitumim. But you're not going to tell me that you didn't accept your own achrayut, which means when we bought the field from you, we bought it with the understanding that you are not going to come and take it back from us. Which means achrayut, they're going to be other people. I mean, if somebody else comes and tries to take it away from us, okay, we know we can't come to you. The deen is you got to go to the yitumim. That we understand was spoken, unspoken, but taken for granted in the sale. But we didn't understand that you're selling us a field. And you're going to be the Baal Chov that's going to come back and take it back from us. Maybe they can argue that. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar lehu. So it comes along and says, Tanitua. Actually, it's a Braita. What's the Braita say? Mocheret vehorechet. Which means, what is she doing? Mm-hmm. She's selling her husband's property. Mocheret vehorechet, which means for Mizonot. Ad kede ketubata. Which means she sells until there's just enough karka for her ketubah. She don't sell everything, but she's still got to take a ketubah. So she sells properties off to get mizonot until there's just enough in order for her ketubah. And the Gemara says, v'semichla, now that karka that remains, shetikbe ketubata min ashar. She shall receive that ketubah from the leftovers. Shma minna, what do you learn over here from this braita? Shaira'im. Very good. Only because there was leftovers. However, lo shaira lo. But if she didn't leave over, meaning if she sold everything, she cannot go back to the Likuhon and claim the ketubah. So you see what? the claim of the lokeh is correct. He can come along and say, listen, I didn't sell it to you with the kid that you're going to come back and take it back from me. That's what the Gemara says. If she's left over property for the ketubah, she can take it. If there's no leftover, she cannot go back to the kohot. Because who said, V'dilma etza tova kamashma'alan? Maybe the Braita is just giving her good advice that what she shouldn't go back. Delo likru lehadrinata. So they won't call her an Indian giver, which means somebody that sells something and takes it back. She doesn't have a bad reputation. Nobody's going to marry her. Because what did she do technically? She sold the property, right? And all of a sudden she comes, whatever, much later, you know, I want that property back because, I want the ketubah. Halachically, she might have a right to do that because she's no different than any other Baal Chov. She's owed the ketubah. She can put a lien on the property and take it back. But you know what? Maybe the Gemara is like, don't do that because, not because halachically she can't, because we don't want to give her a bad reputation. She's going to be called the Hadrata, and now she's not going to be able to get married. Gemara says, Imken. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, meaning if it's just Etzah Tova, Gova Ketubata, Litni, Gova Ketubata, Minashar. Which it should just say, she should take her ketubah from what's left over. Mai semichla. What is those words, semichla? Shma bina shaira in lo shaira lo. Which means, semichla means like, she relies on this. Mm-hmm. Relying on it is like a stronger language. Mashma, that she's relying on this. Leftovers. Meaning if there's no leftovers, if there's no extra money for ketubah, exactly. She's out. Meaning if it were just etzah tova kamashma, you don't have to say the word semichla. You just say, she should take from the leftover. When you say simik, I mean she relies on this mashma that if it's left, if it's gone, she cannot go back to the likuchot. So the Gemara cannot be poshet from this braita, which is the Gemara is really concluding based on this braita, I should say, that really she cannot go to the likuchot because she herself is the one that sold it, and the lokeh did not sell it on that premise that she herself is going to go put a lien on it and take it back for herself. Comes the Gemara and continues, Ibai Elihu. The Gemara has a question. Zebin. Okay, guy sold karka. He needed money, let's say. He needed money to buy merchandise. Okay? Velo itzterich hu lezuzeh. He got the money. So it turned out, he sold the field, he got money, but he didn't need the merchandise anymore. So now the question is, Hadre Zevine, can he go now and say, listen, it was sold under a false pretense, so to speak. I only sold it because I needed the money. Now that I got the money, I don't need the merchandise anymore, so I want to void the sale. Or, no Hadre Zevine. Or do we say, no, listen, the sale was a sale. What do I care what you're doing with the money? And listen, your problem. You couldn't buy merchandise. I bought your field and finished. So that's the question the Gemara gives. Tashema, there's a story. Dahu gavra dezavin ara lerapapa, a person that sold fields to the papa. He needed money to buy oxes. They saw if not tzrichule. At the end of the day, he didn't need the money to buy the oxes. Velo aderini aler papa did not give him back the field, which means listen, you sold it and finished. You didn't use the money for what you needed it for. So what? Comes the Gemara and says, no. Who told you? Rapapa lifni mishut. Gemara says ve aderini aler rapapa. I'm sorry. Ve aderini aler papa laray. Which I'm giving the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says over here that a papa returned the field to him. So you see what? That since the money was not used for the intended purpose of the sale, so this field goes back. To that the Gemara says, no, the papa left him mishurat adinu da'avad. Maybe the papa is being mahmir, meaning really the sale's a sale, but the papa is being nice. He's being above and beyond the letter of the law, therefore he's returning the field. So we have no da'ayah from the story of the papa, that he only gave the field back just being lifti mishrat adin, above and beyond the letter of the law. Tashema, we have another story. There was a certain batsurta, a famine that was in the city of Nahardea, and therefore there was a lack of hita. There was no wheat available. Zamninu kulama lafadayu. So all the people sold their palaces, their mansions, in order to buy wheat. Right? So all the real estate was being sold to get money in order to go buy wheat. What happened? They sold atu hite. After a while, all of a sudden, the wheat showed up. And now all of a sudden, there was a plentiful wheat available. Amar lihu Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said, Dina hu dehadre apadne lemarayu. You have to return the mansions to the original owners because they only sold it because why? They needed money for wheat. But now there was wheat. Which realized after they sold everything, there was a wheat surplus. And therefore, Rav Nachman said, sale was sold on a false pretense. Give everything back. Comes the Gemara says, no. No, I have from that story. Hatam name zibine b'ta'utavu. That's different. This was not sold on a proper pretense. The whole sale is void from the inception. It's ta'ut. Why? Because at the time of the sale, the boats already that had the wheat were in the ports. Which means the whole thing was sold on a false pretense. They were selling their properties because they thought there was no wheat. But really there was wheat. Which means the boats already were filled with wheat already in the ports. All they needed is to deliver them. So it's not for our case. Our case, where a guy sold a field under a normal pretense, and the guy's using the money to buy, let's say, oxes. And now he decides what? He doesn't want to buy the oxes. That wasn't sold under a false pretense. In that case, we want to know, could the guy go back and get his field back? But don't mean we get out from this case. When they sold their mansions, they were selling it because they thought there was no wheat. But indeed, there was wheat. And as a matter of fact, the wheat was on the boats ready to be delivered to the towns. So therefore, you have no... So comes the Gemara and says, if that's the case, the Amar, Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Rav Nachman. Iyache over is a different Iyache. Normally, Iyache is a question. This Iyache over here is a support. Okay? It's a tricky Iyache. Normally, Iyache always introduces, if that's so, but this Iyache is coming to say, Iyache, as if to say, a support to what we just said, that Rav Nachman nullified the sale because of, it wasn't a sale with the proper pretense of the beginning. We're going to prove that to you. Iyache, now we understand. Hayinu dabal remi bar Shmuel Rav Nachman. Now we know what Rami bar Shmuel told Rav Nachman. Im ken, Nimset makshilan la'atid labo, which means you're going to ruin it now, because now every time a person is going to sell a field, now he's going to say, oh, you know what, he could return it, and therefore nobody's going to sell any fields anymore, because he's going to think that the rabbi's going to come along and say you can avoid the sale. So he was telling Rabbi, how could you posek that the people that sold the mansions get their mansions back? You're going to makshil the people la'atid, where nobody's going to sell property thinking that what, that it's going to be returned. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amar le atu kol yoma batzorta shechicha." What do you mean? Every day this happens. Every day there's a batzoret. Every day there's a famine, which means that you're going to come along and say this is not such a shechicha case over here, and therefore it's not going to lead to a michshol. Amar le in tobias batzorta ben hardea mishkas shechicha. Says yes, in nehardea there's actually prevalent batzoret, and what's going to happen as a result of it? It's going to come out mikshals. Because what's going to be? People are going to sell their properties during the time of a famine. And what really, the only reason why you said that they have to return it back is because the boats were there. Right? Because it was under a false pretense. But people are not going to know that. They're going to start thinking about that any time they sell a field over in a time of famine, they're able to return it back. And that's not the deed. So you're going to cause a mikshal. Mm-hmm. Look at the Rashi. Right before the Mishnah. In. Actually, let's read the one before that one. Actually, let's read all of them. Let's start from the Arbe, that the boats were in the ports at the time of the sale. She'al yedeh she'gadal ha'nahar hutzrichu ha'sifirot alechet ha'kalkalot, which means, when it says ekuleh, the boats weren't able to take the regular route over the rivers, because it says the rivers were swelling. So therefore they had to take alternate routes. They didn't know the boats were there. They were on the turns. They were going around, a alternate route. That's why they didn't realize the boats were there. Shegadel ha'nahar, as she says. If the sellers would have known that the boats were on their way, lo hayu mochrim batehen. Meshaat mechira havi detaut, aval hechat mechira lav betaut. Avigon hazru ba'en mochrei ha'chitim la'har shemachru elu batehen, or shebau chitim b'makom ha'ray. Let's say we came from a far away place that wasn't expected. Shadai lo ne'akru b'makomam lo adre. Then the sale is a sale. Iache. So the rabbi said, Iache. Now we understand. Nimset machshilan. The iba'el is bune karka loim sukonim. That's right. For now on, any time that somebody's going to want to sell their land, nobody's going to buy it, because they're going to think, what? You're going to be able to refund it. Is this case a normal case? This happens every day? So he comes along and says, yeah, this happens. Meaning, and you have to suspect that maybe the boats are going to come, they came and they're going to be in these routes over here that are not known to the people. What's going to happen? Then the sales are going to be void. He's saying, yes, this is a common case. The only reason why he nullified the sale is because of what? False pretense. The ibe the atukatim makom karov or shemau le'elu lebadam the tamam mishum zavin velo esriku lezuzeh havimidi de lo shechiyahu v'nekam ekshol. Which means, in this case over here, the only void because it was a false pretense. But what? In a regular case, where let's say they sell the houses, and now wheat comes, let's say, from somewhere else that they didn't know about it, that's not such a shechiyah situation of it. So we have to worry about ruling in this case over here to another case where the people are now stop selling their fields, which is the people are not going to have to worry that this is going to come to a mikshol by giving such a halakha. Comes the Gemara says bilcheta, but halakha bottom line comes out zabin that once he sells the karka velo etzterichu lezuze hadre zabine. The Gemara says he can go back, even though that doesn't sound like the maskana till this point. Right. But till this point, we're saying that no, once you're selling, you sell it. But the Gemara is saying no. But the halakha lemaaseh is even if it wasn't a false pretense, guy bought the sold the field because he needed money to buy a certain merchandise. Now he doesn't need to buy that merchandise anymore. He can go back to the buyer and say, "Listen, I want my field back. You take your money back." And that is the halakha. So you see, the Gemara, even though it wasn't mashma like that towards the end, the Gemara is saying still halakha. The deen is that that's what the person is able to do. Okay, just regarding the halakha on the subject of when the sale is voided because of the purchaser or the seller does not need the money anymore. So the Mefarshim say there's a few things over here. Number one, I'm going to read it over here. Aleph. כאשר כוונתו של המוכר ברורה מצד עצמה, והרי זו מדינה מוכחה, אינו צריך לפרש כלום משעת המחירה. Which means, if it's evident that the reason why he's selling the field is because he needs the money, so he doesn't have to specify it, which means don't think you have to specify. I need it for merchandise. If it's clear that the buyer of the field knows that the seller is doing it because of certain purposes, that's considered an umdina mukhad, that it's a clear, evident proof. Okay, which means he says an example. Mishinatan kon nechasav la'achirim. A guy, let's say, gave all his nechasim to somebody. Aharesh shamash shebeno met b'midinat hayam. The guy heard his son died or something, b'minat hayam, and he gave him all his money. V'harkin ofiyah ben, and then the son showed up. Hamatanot betelot mele'en, sheken baru she'ilu haya yodeya shebeno chai, lo haya makne kon nechasav la'achirim. Which means, in certain cases where a guy, let's say, gave all his money to somebody, because he thought his son died. Okay, he doesn't have any inheritors anymore, he gave his money away. All of a sudden the son surfaces again. Of course, in that case over there, it's an umdena. I only gave the money because I thought the son was dead. Yeah. Now that the son's alive, of course, go back. So that's a case where you have to, even though he didn't stipulate, but it's obvious. What are you giving the money for? Because, no, he gave him money.
So he had the whole time
in case. I mean, he gave him a matana. Can you chazer on a matana? I gave him, the guy gave him the money. Now he's coming and saying, I want my money back. What do you give me money? Give me a matana. No such thing as... Okay, number two, he says over here. Ba'amim shekavanato shel ha-mocher... Sometimes the seller his kavanah is not evident so much. Even though he doesn't have to speak it out, let's say as a condition, which means he has to make a revelation at the time of the sale. For example, he sold all his assets because he wants to move to Israel. Okay? אילו היה מגלה כוונה זו בשעת המחירה, he said, you know what, I'm moving to Israel. He didn't stipulate that, I'm only selling you to you on condition. He just made that clear as a גילוי מלטה. At the time of the sale, you should know, I'm moving to Eretz Israel. אילו היה מגלה כוונה זו בשעת המחירה, אפילו בלא תנאי גמור, לא היה נחשב את הדברים שבלב. Now it's not considered in his heart anymore. He spoke it out. והמקח היה מתבטל כאשר נאנס ולא עלה. Now, in the event, let's say he can't go to Eretz Yisrael, the sale is nullified. Because since he revealed it, even though he didn't reveal it as a stipulation, that's considered enough revelation to break the sale. Shekin b'tzuluf kidoi dat mochia agam ha-ma'aseh al-machshavato. Shekin derech b'nei adam l'mkor konekseihem. Shekin, she'en derech b'nei adam l'mkor konekseihem im en b'datam l'kod l'atam b'mikomam. His actions are also supporting what he said. Because a human being does not sell all his assets unless he's planning on moving. So therefore, his actions plus his gilui daat combined, even though he didn't stipulate, it's considered as if it is a stipulation. Number three, im en kavanato nikeret klal mitoch maaseh, kegon shemachar kol mabushav. He sold all his clothes, let's say, right, in order to go to move to Eretz Yisrael. afilu gilui dat eno mo'il,
which means he just says, I'm moving to Israel. Well, his actions don't support that, because selling your clothes, per se, has nothing to do with moving to a different place.
Ela sarich latot mefurash kemishpat ha-tana'im.
Then you have to explicitly say, the sale is only a sale because I'm moving to Israel. If I don't move to Israel, I'm taking my clothes back.
Okay, that's what he has to be spoken out. So those are some of the conditions that come out, that even though he did not, but the deen of the Gemara is that in certain cases where it's an umdina, where people can assume exactly why he sold the property, and that reason does not materialize, he's able to come back and say, I want my field back, and that is the bottom line of the halakha. Comes the next Mishnah. Almana. Okay, I have a widow, ben mina irusin, ben mina nisuin. Okay, she's an almana. Either she's from widow, from irusin, engagement, or mina nisuin, from marriage. That she says, what's the point of irusin? She'en la mizonot. Umocher lektubata. Let's review. When does mizonot kick in? Mizonot doesn't kick in until she is married. Right? When she's an arusa, the husband does not have to give her a mizonot, but she still gets a ketubah. So now the dean of the Mishnah says, almana. She's an almana ben mina irusin, where she could sell her properties where the husband died, let's say. Now she wants to sell the assets in order to pay her ketubah, ben mina irusin, where she's selling in order to get even mizonot. Mocheret shelo bebetin. Tanakama says she does not have to sell her the fields with betin. She can sell it. I feel shelo bebetin. She's got to go to betin, because especially the case of the nisuah, she wants to have mizonot now. She's going to stop. Well, she has to wait till Betty now orchestrates the selling in the field. It's too much. So therefore, Tarakama says, not only a Nisu'ah, but even goes even further, in Arusah, that selling Ketubah, we don't put her to the hurdles of having to go through Bedin to sell property to pay a Ketubah. We'll see why Tarakama holds like that. So that she could sell her properties, Ben the Mizonot, Ben the Ketubah, she'll have a Bedin. Good? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mena Nisu'in, Mocheret, she'll have a Bedin. Yeah, min nisuin, meaning when she's selling for mizonot, but that's min nisuin, is mizonot, she could sell without betin for the same reason. We don't want to put her through hardship to feed herself. She's got to eat. However, min irusin, not to quite a betin. But min irusin, where all it is she's selling is for ketubah, then she's got to do it for with a betin. Mepene, she'en la mizonot. In the case of nisuin, she doesn't have mizonot. V'chol she'en la mizonot, not to mkod, yada bebetin. But in the case where there's no mizonot, for example, a arusa, that she only sells it with Betty. So that's basically Rabbi Shimon's ruling. Let's read Rashi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mena Nisuin Shu Mocher Le Mizonot, Mocher Ito Be Betty. She Yifshad La Liyot Yoshevet Metane Ad Shistakul La Betty. She cannot stop until Betty is ready for her. Ava Mena Irusin She Emekinata Ela Lechtuba Lo Tukla Le Betty. But for Irusin, it's only for Ketuba. Wait for Betty to sell it according to the normal way. Comes the Gemara and says, Bishtama Mena Nisuin Mishum Mizoneh. I understand why you don't have to, according to Tanakama, why a lady is able to sell her property, to sell the properties in Almanam and Nisu'in, she needs Mezorot. She's got to live. We don't want her to wait around for Betin because she's going to starve. However, Elam and Erusin, my Tama, but what's the reason Mene Erusin? Which means Mene Erusin, it's Ketubah. Why should the Tanakama say don't sell it with Betin? Let her go to Betin and sell the properties. Amar Ula Mishum Hina. What is Mishum Hina? We do not want to inconvenience a lady to get her ketubah. You know why? Because if you make it difficult for a lady to get a ketubah, she's not going to find favor, she's not going to want to get married, and it's going to cause her to, Chas v'shalom, to delay getting married again. So therefore, we do not want her to have an impediment in getting married again. So what do? When she gets the ketubah, let it be easy for her. Okay, we want her to find favor in the eyes of in the people. Okay, Mishum Hinna, I mean Hin. Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Rabbi Yohanan is a different understanding. Lefi she'en adam rotzeh shetpaze ishto bebetin. Another reason, listen, a husband does not want his wife to be embarrassed in front of betin to start claiming properties. Therefore, when the arus died, you could assume that the arusah can just sell the ketubah, the properties, without betin. Why? That's not what the husband wants. The husband wants her now to go stand in front of the Beit, so I don't have to make claims. So that's the reason. So two different reasons. Either Mishum Hen, or Mishum She'en Ish Rotzich Tetganeh Ishto. So comes Gemara and says, my Benai, what's the Nafka between the two reasons? Ika Benai, you know what the Nafka Benai is going to be? Girusha. Right, let's say she wasn't an Almana. She was divorced. Right? She's divorced mina irusin. Leman de amar mishum hina girusha namen ba'ehin. Leman de amar fishen adam rotsi shetepeze ishto bebetin girusha lo echmat le.
Which means, according to the reason that says what? Hin, that we don't want to cause the lady not to get remarried, so what do I care if she got divorced or not? Bottom line, I always want to make it easy for the lady to get her ketubah, because I'm worried about the next marriage. So therefore, I don't care if she got divorced to the first guy. I'm thinking about now, this next marriage. But if you could have come along and say that the whole reason is why, because the husband doesn't want it to become mitbazir in front of Betin, in the case of Girusha, Adraba, look about that. He got divorced. He cares if she doesn't get embarrassed in front of Betin. She doesn't care. So therefore, that would be enough coming up between the two reasons. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah. Later on, Gemara is asking a question now. Ugrusha lotim kor. A girusha should not sell ela bebetin. Girusha can only sell the money for the ketubah for the bedin. Bishtama le madama de fish ena dam lotzish tpaze ishto bebetin. Girusha lo achpatle. Good. According to the reason that says that the husband doesn't want to get embarrassed, I understand the lady Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying, Girusha, let her sell it in front of Betty. Why? Because the husband doesn't care. He let her get embarrassed. However, but according to the reason that says that it's for the lady, so she'll have an incentive to get remarried. How can he argue on the Mishnah? So Gemara says, Hamani, who's the author of that next Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so what did we learn in our Mishnah also? We learned that Rabbi Shimon Shita was that any lady mina irusin that's selling ketubah only, it's only a ketubah situation, has to be in front of betin. So therefore, he doesn't know. He doesn't know like Tanakh. Tanakh Kama holds what? Even ketubah, you don't have to be in front of betin. I that mishnah later on that says girusha that she needs a betin to sell. That's the bishamon. That the bishamon is always a lady that's selling for ketubah has got to be in front of betin. So you have no question on the later mishnah. Comes the Gemara and says, Rekadeshi, Rabbi Shimoni, five lines down. Delet lechina. He don't. Rabbi Shimon obviously doesn't hold of hin. What's the proof? Degabe almana mene erusin nami mishum tuchva keim ezabna amalot kol lebetin. Clearly, Rabbi Shimon holds an arusa who's an almana. She cannot sell her ketubah only in front of betin. So he doesn't care about the hin factor. He doesn't care about her incentive getting married again. So therefore, that later mishnah that says an girusha cannot sell her ketubah only for the betin. It's alibad the mishmaot. Don't ask. Till now we're going into the kamashita. So you ask me a question from the later mishnah. Then the mishnah says the bishmaon. The Gemara continues. Eat the bishmaon. If you tell me that the mishnah later on is the bishmaon, hatana l'resha. We know this already from the resha, from our mishnah. What would it say in our mishnah? Mina irusin notim kor. Right? Our mishnah clearly said that mina irusin she does not sell only in front of betin. Okay, so the Chaura, we know that from our Mishnah. Why? Look at no. So we know from our Mishnah. So comes the Gemara because why? Didn't the Mishnah say that Arusa sells it from only can sell with Betin? That means he doesn't go with Hin. So if he doesn't go with Hin, so obviously Girusha also has to sell it with Betin. So what do we need to tell me that the next Mishnah is Alibad Rabbi Shimon? We know already from this Mishnah. Because I would have thought almana mina irusin. That's it. Almana mina irusin, like our mishnah. Who delo nafish hendida? In that case, I might tell you I'm not concerned so much about the hand factor. Aval girusha de nafish hen. But in the case of girusha, where there is a hand factor, dida ema tivri hen. Maybe I would think you hand kamash well or no. What's the difference between an almana and a girusha? Rashi. Delo nafish chendida, an almana doesn't have too much chend. Why? Shelo aitala chibat bi'a. She never had bi'a with the arus. She was almana from irusin. Velo yira b'nehan nashim mutrohazu. The people on the other ladies are not going to lose incentives to get married if they see that she has a hard time getting a ketubah. This lady, because they say she didn't get anything. She never bi'a with the guy even. So she's getting free money now. She's getting a ketubah. So it won't bother ladies that this lady is having a hard time getting a ketubah. Yeah. Because they say there was really little investment. They didn't even have bi'ah together. Masha'enken, I would say a girusha, they live together. So hibat bi'ah already, the husband enjoyed. Now what? You're going to tell me, still going to make it difficult to get a ketubah? Now other ladies are going to come along and say, hey, I'm not getting married over here.
So therefore, you would have thought that by Girusha, even the Mishnah says, hen factor, that's why you need the next Mishnah. Even though I told you by Almana, I needed to tell it to you by Girusha. Because by Girusha, there was a half a minute to think that even Rabbi Shimon would say, let us just sell the properties without betin. You know why? Because you're going to lose incentive on the ladies. Why you lose incentive? Because the ladies are going to come along and say, hey, that's not right. She's married. She had bia and all this. She was with the husband. Now all she wants is collecting ketubah. They're putting her through the mill. Yeah. It's too difficult. Even in that case over there, she still has to sell it with a beti. So therefore you need both Mishnah. You need the Almana Mishnah and you need the Girusha Mishnah. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, Hanametanina. What are you talking? It's also an Al Mishnah, which means the Girusha case, I don't need to have a Mishnah later on to teach me Girusha. It's got to go in front of a Betin. It's actually Al Mishnah. Why? Kol She'en La Mizonot. What did we say at the end of Al Mishnah? At the end of Al Mishnah, after the Bishimon gave his law, he gave a rule. He codified it. He said, if there's no mizonot, it's got to be done in front of betin. What do you have to repeat that for? You already told me a case of almana. Almana, obviously, almana arusa does not have mizonot. And you told me, almana arusa bebetin. What do you have to tell me at the end of the Mishnah? Kol she'en la mizonot bebetin. That's repetitious. You know why you have to say that? La'atuye mai, lav la'atuye girusha. Must be to come include the case of a girusha. To come and tell me what? That also a Girusha, she has to go in front of Betin. Good. That means the later Mishnah must not have been the Bishamon. Because the Bishamon's Girusha case was said already from an implication from our Mishnah. And therefore the second Mishnah that said Girusha needs Betin, that must be going like Tanakama. Oh, that's a question going against the rabbi that said the reason is Chayin, the Karashi should also not go for the Betin nor to have the Chayin factor. So comes again one that says, no. That's not the implication of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not coming to teach you the Girusha case. Our Mishnah is coming to bring a case of a lady who is Sefek Migureshet. Like the opinion of Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera kol makom she'amru Migureshet v'na Migureshet ba'al chaya b'mzonoteha. Which means, we have a rule. Anytime a lady is migureshet v'na migureshet, which means mat, she is sefek migureshet, the husband is hayav to support her. Because until there's divorce, really the support is necessary. So now let's see, what does that got to do with our Mishnah? Rashi. Migureshet v'na migureshet. Yeah? Migureshet v'na migureshet. Umin ha'irusin. Okay, it's coming to tell me a case of a lady that was engaged. And they got divorced. Now, give me a case of Megureshet v'na Megureshet. How can it be Sefek? Let's say he threw her the get, like we had this case many times. Sefek Karov La, Sefek Karov Lo. We don't know. It's right in the center. We don't know who is closer. If it's closer to him, she's not Megureshet. If it's closer to her, it is Megureshet, but you don't know. So therefore, she's Megureshet v'na Megureshet. So it says, Velo Lashminan Delotim Kol Lechtubata Ela Bebetin. And the point of the Mishnah is not to tell me that she sells her ketubah from her assets, the Betin. Which is, I know that already from the case of Almana. Which is, I don't have to tell me that when she's selling for a ketubah, that she has to go to Betin. Every lady has to sell, if she's selling her ketubah, she's got to go for a Betin. You know what it's teaching me? The Megureshet v'na Megureshet k'on zarak la'gita safek karov la safek karov la'o b'reshut rabim en la mezonot min hayetomim imet. Which means now, if the husband dies, so now the Yetomim do not have to support her and give her mizonot. Which means the law is like this. So long as the husband's alive, he has to give. Because he's directly responsible for mizonot. So the sefek is on him. Yeah, you want to prove, you want to stop giving me mizonot? Bring me a proof that I'm divorced. So as long as it's the husband supplying the mizonot, he's got to pay even in the case of sefek migureshet. But once he dies, the Yetomim can come along and say, hey, you want to take money out of us? Prove to me that you're divorced. Prove to me that you're married. Exactly. Because now you're taking it out of us, which is the husband, he's hayav in mizonot. You want to stop paying mizonot? Now already the lady can keep on taking out. It's a burden. The proof was on the husband that it was a divorce. But now once the husband dies, the Hadush of the Mishnah is, the Yetomim do not have to give mizonot, because they can come along to the wife and say, Yosafik Mugureshet, prove to me that you're still married. Exactly. And therefore, we're not going to give you mizonot. Kedra Bizera, Kedra Shi, Kedra Bizera, Damar, Bala hayav b'mizonot b'hayav. As long as the husband's alive, he has to give her milvash me'ina matnitin. So the chiddush of our Mishnah is what? The davka b'hayav. Mishum de me'ukevet b'shvilo le'naseh. Which means she cannot get married on account of him. But let's get the logic now. He's holding her back. He gave her this safek girushin over here. She's stuck. She cannot get married to him. She's going to stop. So therefore what? The husband has to support her until it's settled. Aval lahar mita lo. The dilma girushin havu. From a safek, we're not going to be mafik mamon from the yorshim. Oh, so now let's go slow. And based on that, that's what the end of the Mishnah was coming to teach me. Not a case of a Girusha, and was coming to teach me a totally different deen. When the Mishnah said, I quote the Lashon of the Mishnah, Kol she'en la mizonot, lotim kol ela bebetin, what's coming to say, Kol she'en la mizonot, meaning, in a case where she's safek megureshet, and she doesn't have mizonot, meaning that the yetomim are not responsible to give her mizonot, right there's the Hadush. Yep. What? When she's selling for a ketubah, she's got to sell the betin. Agav urhei, you're teaching me that in a case where a lady was married in safek megureshet, and now she falls to the yetomim because the husband died, she's a case of en la mizonot. And therefore, the Girusha case was not written in our Mishnah. The Girusha case is the next Mishnah. And therefore, I have the Bishop, everything's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon starts off with the case of Almana, and tells me when Almana Arusa sells ketubah, she's got to do it for the betin, because she doesn't go with hand factor, you don't care about incentives and things like that. And not only by an almana, but even by a girusha, where you might have thought that, maybe since that biyah, maybe you have to make it easier for her. Still, you don't have to make it easy for her. Still, sold aliyadeh betin. So therefore, the al mishnah and the next mishnah is aliba, the Rabbi Shimon, and the la'atuyeh. The case of Al-Mishnah that was coming to include was a safek megureshet to teach me the deen that what? Yetomim are not obligated to pay mizonot. That's what the Mishnah says. Called she'en la mizonot. Why did she not have mizonot? Because the husband died. Yep. She fell to the yetomim. She didn't have to pay her mizonot. But ketubah, of course she gets. Comes the Gemara, that's what this Mishnah is saying. That when she comes to sell a ketubah, she has to sell it through beti. Comes the Gemara and says, Tashema. Come and listen, come and hear. We're going to bring a question. Kishim, shemocheret shelo bedin, just like the almana, is able to sell our properties, let's say for the ketubah. Shelo bedin, right, without bedin. This is according to Tanakama. She doesn't have to go according to in front of bedin. Kach yorsheha, yorshe ketubata mochrim shelo bedin. So to her yorsheha, what is that case? Let's say she dies now. What happens to her ketubah? It goes to her inheritors. Her inheritors are also able to sell property to cash in the ketubah without bedin. So comes the Gemara now and analyzes. Bishlama leman dama lefishen adam rosech titpazeh ishto bebedin. Ki echi di'ihi lo nihalel titpazeh. Yorsheh anami lo nihalel lebazu. I understand according to the opinion that says what? That the whole reason why you don't make the wife go to betin is because husband doesn't want his wife to be embarrassed in front of betin. So I could say the husband also doesn't want his wife's inheritors to be embarrassed in front of betin. However, which means when it comes to the hand factor, that's only shayak by a her. That what we're concerned that if you're going to make it difficult to get a ketubah, she's not going to want to get married. It's going to be difficult to get married. But you're Yerushim now. You have the boys, let's say, inheriting. So what are we worried about now? If you make it difficult to get the ketubah, they're not going to get married? Hen is only by a lady, you say that. The case is talking about where it was girl inheritors. It's either she only had a daughter or was a sister. And therefore, the hen factor kicks in as well. If you're going to make it difficult for the bat or the aotah to collect the ketubah, she's not going to get married. Therefore, it's going to cause others also to have a lack of incentive. So that's the case why it says, Dafka yursheha, also have a right to sell shelo bebetin, because dafka in the case of bat wachotah, so there is a nafka mina, which means according to the shita that says that en adam rotzit bazeh ishto b'fnei bedin, even if it was boys, it doesn't matter, because bottom line, he doesn't want his wife to be mitbazeh, he doesn't want her inheritors to be mitbazeh, boys or girls. I think if you go with the hand factor, you have to say the case is dafka talking about girls.
Mishnah continues, machra ketubata.
Okay, lady sells her ketubah. Okay, she sells the rights to the ketubah. Or miksata. Or she sells part of the ketubah. Mishkena ketubata. Or let's say she mortgages her ketubah as a collateral for something. Or miksata. She puts the collateral on part of the ketubah. Natna ketubata le'acher, or she gave as a matana her ketubah to somebody else, or miksata. Okay, or she gave part of it to somebody else. Lo temkor et ha'she'ar ela bebetin. The rest, she cannot, the balance, she cannot sell only in front of betin, Rashi. Now, who's talking over here? Rabbi Shimon ka'amarla. This is Alibad Rabbi Shimon, like we learned in the last Mishnah. De amar en mocheret shelo bebetin ela lemezonot. Right, she can only sell ketubah. Sorry, she can only sell outside of betin for mezonot. Vezu mechevan shegapta miksata. Here's the hidush. Once she collected partial ketubah en la mezonot, she loses mezonot. Talk about a nisuah. A nisuah has rights to mezonot. Once she already collected part of her ketubah, she cannot eat mezonot anymore. Therefore, she loses her rights to mezonot. Therefore, the rest and the balance of her ketubah now has got to be sold with betin, because she cannot come along and say she's selling it for mezonot. There's no more mezonot. That once she gets partial payment for ketubah, it's over. Mezonot stops. So whatever she's selling now to get paid for has to be for the rest of the balance of her ketubah. That has to be done dafka in front of Bedin. V'achamim omrim, mocheret, mocheret. Of course, if he gives it as a matana, if she gives the whole ketubah as a matana, vaday she loses mezonot. Even if she gives partial matana and she keeps the rest for herself, but what? She still has, she already has part of the ketubah already. Chamim omrim, chamim come along and say, mocheret hi afilu arba'a v'hamisha pe'amim. Doesn't matter. She could sell properties for a ketubah, even in four installments, and she didn't get paid yet full ketubah yet. Umocheret lemezonot shelo bebetin. She could still sell properties for mezonot. She means she does not lose mezonot. Therefore, she can sell for the mezonot even not in front of bedin. Vekot. So it's machloket Rabbi Shimon and Achamim. When she gets paid partial ketubah, does she lose mezonot or not? Vechotevet lemezonot macharti. And as we learned earlier, that when she's writing the shtar of the mechira, she should write that she's doing this for mezonot. We explained this over here for our reputation, because we don't want it to sound like Ra'av Tanuta. Otherwise, she can look like a gluttonous lady, but she's selling all these fields over here, and the people are going to think that all the fields that she's selling is for mezonot. So therefore, some fields she sold this for ketubah. Yes. But if she's not going to write down in the field what she's selling, people are going to think that, wow, she eats a lot, and therefore what's going to happen, they're going to want to marry her. So they said, for etzatov akamashpulan, write down exactly that this one was for mezonot. So they know that she's not eating that much. And then he went, v'girusha, like we learned in the last Gemara, lo temkor ela bebetin, and we said it's alibad Rabbi Shimon, that a girusha, she can only sell the properties for a ketubah in front of betin because of the fact that he does not go with the hand factor, and therefore always a lady that's selling for ketubah needs to go in front of betin. Comes again and says, "Manitin mani, who's the author of our Mishnah?" Rashi, meaning Tanakama de Matnitin, who's the Tanakama of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimoni. The Tanya, we have a Braita. Machra ketubata. She sold her ketubah, the rights. Mishkena ketubata. Hasta ketubata apoteki. What's apoteki? Let's say she owed money to somebody. So she comes along and says that I'm making this field over here that's designated for my ketubah, apoteki, which is in the shetevot apote ka'e, which means she's designating this field. This is the field that you can come along and take for payment. Right? If I don't pay you back, I'm putting a guarantee where? On this designated field. And la mezonot. Which is, again, in all these cases over there, once she either sold the field of the ketubah, or she mortgaged it out, or she made an apotekai, she loses mezonot. Therefore, she cannot sell any mezonot anymore, any fields of mezonot. Therefore, all she has left is, if there's anything left over from the ketubah, and therefore it only needs betin. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, now this is Tanakama. Now Tanakama's case, it should be noted, she sold everything. Which means there's nothing, remaining. Which is really, according to Tanakama, and this bright over here, the reason why she has nothing left, because she sold the entire, she got the ketubah, and now she put it as a poteki, or she gave it as a mashkon, and so on and so forth. So Tanakama will agree in this case, when there's nothing left over, she has no bezonot, because she got paid. However, Bishamon Omer, afa pishlo machra, v'lo mishkana ketubata, ela mahasita, even part of it, so you see what? The Bishwan's the Shita that says, even if she sold
the fields, and she got part of the ketubah, already she loses mezot. So that must be what? Chita of Tanakama. Let's read the Rashi. Makra ketubah takula. Good. She sold the entire rights of ketubah. Ein la mezonot. That's Tanakama of the brighter, which is Rabbi Meir. Aval makra meksata. Yes la mezonot. Good. Comes the Gemara and says, Lememra, you mean to tell me that Rabbi Shimon Savar, that Rabbi Shimon holds, de lo amrinan miksat kesef kechol kesef? Do you mean to tell me that Rabbi Shimon, who says that when a lady gets part of the ketubah, right, when she sells part of the ketubah, we don't consider it as if she got we consider it as if she got the complete ketubah. Even though she got partial ketubah, we consider that she got complete, and therefore she loses mizrot. Are you telling me that the Bishamon doesn't or holds? Remember the Bishamon Savan. That we don't say miksat kesef kechol kesef. Rashi. Lo amiksat kesef. Mohar betulot sheyesh la adayin alehem. Which is the money that's owed to her, because she didn't get paid full. The money that's owed to her. Hareu kikulo. Maybe I'll say on the little money that's owed to her, that she thought that same miksat kesef is considered kekulo. As long as she didn't get paid fully, that little that's owed to her is considered fully. It's considered all the kesef. And that's why she can eat mezonot. That's the bimeir. But the Bishamon obviously doesn't hold like that. Because the Bishamon says that the little money that's owed to her is not considered as if all the money is altar, which means the Bishamon doesn't hold that we don't say miksat kesef kechol kesef. Meaning we don't say, according to the Bishamon, that the partial money that's altar is considered like all the money that is altar. Because if all the money was altar, she'd be able to eat mezonot. From the fact that the Bishamon says when the partially she's owed some money, she stops. So therefore we don't consider that partial kesef is considered all kesef. So we're saying the Bishamon doesn't hold like that. Why? What do we see? The Rabbanan, Savi, and Rabbanan, who's a Bimeir Savi, must hold what? Miksat kesef kechol kesef. What does miksat kesef kechol kesef mean? That's the Bimeir Shita. That when she's owed partial money, it's considered as if she's owed all the money. And therefore, so, till she gets paid in full, she can still eat mezonot. What do you mean? Ha'if kashtamirin alnehu. We learned the exact opposite. That the Bishamon actually holds when she's owed, when somebody's owed partial is considered full. How do you know that? The Tanya. Okay, now we go to a new case, nothing to do with money, but to do with a Kohen Gadol marrying a Betula. But we're going to give a similar Sevarot here. It says in the Pasuk, Vehu Isha Bebtuleh Yikah. What does the Torah say? A Kohen Gadol must marry a Betula.
Prat Lebogeret Shekalu Betuleha.
So what is Betuleha coming to exclude? It's coming to include a bogeret, because what happens to a bogeret? The bogeret's betulin start to thin out. Okay? It's not the full betulin. And therefore, Tanakama, who is Rabbi Meir over here, clearly says that a bogeret cannot marry a Kohen Gadol. Why? We're not going to say that miksat betulin is like kol betulin, which is against what Rabbi Meir just said. Rabbi Meir just said, when it comes to the ketubah payment, we say miksat ketubah is like what? Called ketubah, like that she didn't get paid. And therefore, Rabbi Meir is soter himself, because when it comes to betulin, we say what? Miksat betulin is considered kechol betulin. And therefore what? A Kohen Gadol cannot marry a bogeret. Now Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, makshirim bebogeret. He comes on and says, you can't marry Bogeret. Why? Because he holds miksad betulin is kechol betulin. And therefore, even though she has miksad, she has all. That's soterim over here, because in the case of the mamonot of it, what do you say? If she got paid part, we don't consider that she didn't get paid anything. Right? We say miksad is considered miksad. It's not considered kechol by the mamon. So the Gemara says, you cannot bring a raya from betulin to the case of mamonot. Why? Hatam bikra'e pelige. There, it's a mahloket in darshanut in the pesukim. It's a gizrut ha-katuv over here. How do Doresh pesukim? Why? What's the mahloket? Rabbi Meir Savar betula. We're gonna have to Doresh the word in three ways. The pasuk says v'hu isha bibtuleha. Now, the pasuk could have said betula. It said betuleha, and then it added an extra bet, bibtu leha. So each rabbi is going to have to bring doresh the three components of this word. The bet, the betula, and the betuleha.
So Gemara says, Rabbi Meir first. Rabbi Meir says, betula, if the pasuk would have just said betula, afilu miksat betulin.
Betula means any sort of betula. Even if we'll get it. Even if she has partial betulin, it's thinned out,
kosher. Betuleha. Oh, what does the betuleha come to exclude? Adika kulehu betulin.
That what? You need full betulin. To exclude A,
we'll get it.
Bibtuleha. What does the bet come and tell me?
Bechidarka in.
It's only talking about what? Where the bi'a was done in the normal way. And that's how she lost the betulin.
However, sheloke darka, lo.
However, sheloke darka, which is not say the bi'a was from the back, right? It's a bi'a sheloke darka, which is not in the place of the betul. It's not posel of Kohen Gadol. Not posulat of Kohen Gadol. So let's review the three shitot, the three breakdowns. Betula, I would have learned what? Even miksat is okay. Betuleha comes and tells me what? No. You need full betulin. Bibtuleha, the bet comes on and says it's got to be only when she loses it. Kedarka. Aval shelo kedarka? Okay. Now we go to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Azar, Rabbi Shimon, savri betula shelema mashma. He starts off differently. He's not what it says. Betula, betula means betula shelema. It's got to be complete. Betuleha afilu miksat betulin. He comes along and says, what does it say when it says the words betuleha? That even miksat betulin, for example, like a bogeret, kasher, it's coming in the akel. Yes? What is the bet? Bibtuleha. Sheyehu kol betuleha kayamin. Ben bechidarka, ben shelo kedarka. Which means, taprashi. Betuleha kayamin. Le'inyan be'ila. Which means that which we're saying, it's coming to say in any way. Ben bedarka, ben shelo bedarka. Which means she has to be a bitula gemara that she was not defilet at all, even shelo kedarka. So let's go to Mahmir on Rabbi Meir in this case. So really, they're Mekil and Mahmir, respectively. Which means Rabbi Meir, he's Mahmir in the sense that says what? Miksat bitula. Asura, bogeret asura. Where according to Rabbi Shimon, he says, no, miksat betulin, mutah. That's what betulah is coming to teach me. Yeah. Whereas Rabbi Meir holds what? Bi'ash shelo kedarka, mutar, betulah. Yeah. He says the exact opposite of Rabbi Shimon. Betulah comes along and says, any which way she loses the betulin, even shelo kedarka, she's out. And therefore, the Gemara is concluding and saying, this is a machloket in Pesukim. So therefore you cannot come along now and give a machloket in the Pesukim to our situation over there, the Gabe Kesef. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.